Hey everybody, this is John Fusco, and you're listening to the No Film School podcast. We've discussed many different tactics for getting your short films into film festivals on this podcast, but at South by Southwest last month, we decided to head straight for the source, the people in charge of selecting the films themselves. That's right, we're talking about the all-powerful festival programmer. And to get the inside scoop, there's no one better than South by Southwest senior film programmer, Claudette Godfrey. On today's program, Claudette and I run through exactly what it is that attracts a festival programmer to a certain short. She also gives us a rundown of the things a filmmaker should focus on when submitting, as well as what they should attempt to avoid when working on a project they hope will be selected. Claudette makes a powerful case for the value of festivals like South by Southwest for all filmmakers, and if you're in the middle of planning a festival run, you better listen close. Hey guys, it's John Fusco, and I'm here with Claudette Godfrey, right?
Yes.
Great.
Perfect.
What's your title at South by Southwest?
My title is Senior Film Programmer.
Boom. So today we're going to talk about what it's like for a film programmer and, you know, if you got a short, maybe some things that you can do to help increase your chances at getting into such a prestigious program as South by Southwest.
Perfect.
Great. So how long have you been with South By, Claudette?
This is technically my 10th year to work full-time. Janet hired me on right after college, but before that I worked as a, we have these volunteers who are like the crew chiefs of a crew of volunteers. So I did that because I was only 20 and we don't have interns over 20. So, or who are under 21, I mean, they have to be at least 21.
Okay.
So I had like done an interview and they're like, we love you. But then like, just kidding, but you can do this other job, which I had so much fun at. The next year I was that person's intern and did that. And then the next year I pretty much spent all of my college half the year at the South By offices instead of going, I went to UT for film school. So I ended up just hanging around. So then it was basically my part-time job, my last year of college, my last semester of college, and then actually left college early to go to work for CineVegas, which is a rest in peace festival in Las Vegas that was the biggest party known to man. And then that same summer is when Matt Dentler left. So I felt like my family fell apart. Matt moved and Janet took over and Janet was like, hey, someone else left and was like, hey, do you want to like come back and be the festival coordinator? And I was like, all right, because I'm born and raised in Austin. My whole family lives here, and I was kind of on the fence of like staying in Austin or moving to LA. So,
how does one become a programmer? Like, what is the criteria for what do you have to have on your resume and able to like get selected to have this position?
There is no answer to that question. I think the best thing that you can do is try to become, you know, like if you're just like a person out in the world and you're like, that seems interesting, I think I could do that. I think you would want to try to get one of the kind of like volunteer positions screening for a festival, whatever festival is near you, because every festival pretty much needs manpower to help them get through all their submissions. This year we got over 8,000 submissions. So obviously the, you know, five or six people who have programmer in their name that work at South By are not watching all of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a group of volunteers that have some kind of qualification. Like they're professors, they're filmmakers. They went to film school and now, you know, they go to every film festival, but they work their regular job as an accountant or whatever it is. And basically, at least for South By, we do applications in the summer when we need people like open on the internet where if you know somebody that you could just like fill out an application and then we do kind of tests and let people where they do kind of a sample grading process and we see if they jive with us and then they volunteer. And if they're really great at volunteering, you kind of see people who have talent that are kind of like, oh, they are in a line. Because that's the thing. It's such an opinion-based art form. That's why it's like confusing to understand how you even get into a film festival.
Yeah.
It's like everything's based on opinion. But for us, we're looking for people who are really like smart in analyzing things and are able to distinguish their own opinion from the possible opinion of other people. And kind of just have a bigger view of like, what is South By looking for? Not just is a film, you know, there's so many shades of gray around all of it that we kind of like, and then those people sometimes get paid to watch more. And then sometimes they become, you know, I have three associate programmers who don't work for South By outright, that they just do it in their spare time because they did such a great job screening that now they watch a lot more and get paid and get a title and get to, you know, do intros and Q&As. And those are just people who did a really great job volunteering.
So they've gone on to other film festivals to become programmers there, essentially.
Well, no, they're programmers at South By.
Oh.
Just our associate programmers.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they don't work in our office.
Gotcha.
But they, you know, they do it
sort of
after
like
work.
Freelance programmers?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Kind of, yeah.
So then what does it take to get, like, what do you look for to get into South By Southwest? Are you allowed to tell me, like, what's on that grading?
Yeah, I mean,
sheet?
It's actually super simple. I mean, it's mostly, like, in the shades of gray of what people write. I mean, the form is... And that's why we look for people who are able to articulate things in a very clear and not even verbose way, you know, where it's like, what's good about this? What's not good about this? And then why does this not work for what we program? So you might watch a really amazing animated feature film that's really great, but it's for kids 5 to 9. Mm. We don't have kids 5 to 9 in our festival. So while that movie is great, you will still write that the fit is not a good fit for South By Southwest. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the thing. And then the other stuff, so then we grade 1 to 5, 5 being like the best thing you've ever fucking seen. There are very few grades like that. And then 1 where it's like, this is unshowable, that type of kind of in between. So it is definitely in the gray area. It's sort of like if you have friends where you talk to them about films you love and you're like, oh, we are like understanding each other. We are on the same level and we agree. That's kind of... you know, the people we're looking for that jive with us. Because we do, even though we do have different specialties within our office and differing opinions, we still do kind of have a very cohesive idea of what the festival is programming and what our kind of function is.
So then for short specifically, like, is there any criteria that would maybe help them stand out in a way versus the other shorts? How many shorts were submitted this year?
Shorts was, I think, right at 5,600,
okay.
So 5,600, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The total shorts program at the end of the day, even when you're counting music videos, the Texas High School, the VR projects, we were like right around 150, but 40 of those are VR projects, you know?
Mm-hmm.
20 of them are music videos, 20 of them are high school kids. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the main like Academy qualifying competition of the narrative shorts, the documentary shorts, and the animated shorts blocks, between all of them, there's less than 40 movies.
Mm.
So it's a very small percentage. And then the bulk of those submissions are actually narrative shorts. So if you want to get into a film festival, make an animation. Because it's the hardest thing to do. But the narratives, this year we had 3,500 narrative shorts for basically like 20 slots.
Right. What was it about the narrative shorts this year that did get selected? Do you think that... make them unique, I guess, from previous years, or something that you, and vice versa, what's something about the narrative shorts this year that you see sort of as a pattern for winners or those that are selected year and year and year over and over and over again?
Yeah, from year to year, it's definitely the subjects are different. It's kind of like, what's the zeitgeist of like what is kind of coming to the forefront? But I think most often when people kind of ask like, what are you looking for? It's like year to year, it's the same, because some festivals do program around themes or certain ideas each year. We do not do that. Like what we're doing is looking for the stuff that, like, I'm sitting on a couch watching movies for 12 hours a day sometimes. I'm looking for the stuff that grabs my attention, is sucking me in, and, like, is emotionally engaging to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can do that in 5 minutes, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a talent. And so that's mostly what we're looking for in, like, a story that, you know, kind of the cliche of ways of saying it is also, like, we're looking for a story we haven't ever seen before or a story that we've seen a million times that's told from a unique kind of director's point of view in a way we haven't seen it before.
Hmm. So then what was it about? I just watched Danny's film.
Yeah.
Krista. Yes. What was it about Krista, for example, do you think that elevated it to the point where it won the special jury award?
Yeah. Well, her acting is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, like Danny's work, obviously he's had many projects at the festival, but you know, he's working with a really great team, but also the attention to detail that they're putting into their work is what really makes it. It's like, you know, Danny's like number one fun thing that he loves is sound designing, or like he like is just recording shit all the time and doing things. He did our bumpers 1 year, and it's like he makes so many, he makes sounds with his voice. Like he does that. And so the sound design in that is very, and also like the natural sound that he's using to turn into more like percussive elements is creating this tension that a lot of people just pay no attention in their short to the sound or sound design at all. That elevates it. Obviously her performance is amazing, but I think it's also kind of like the subtlety of it. You know, the story is about a girl who's getting hassled and like how she kind of takes the power back. And more often than not, those stories are overwrought, you know, or very exaggerated, dramatic, and don't feel real or authentic. And I think the story feels authentic, and I really like that it's more focused on the very small ways in which you can kind of perceive your own life and feel your own life, instead of like, look at this girl who's gonna like show them who's boss and like be really overt. It's like very subtle, and it's like the very end of the program, which I think some people, if they're not paying close enough attention, at least in my program this year, it's one in one of them, it's the last final film, is that it, they're like, oh, it's kind of a downer because she's getting hassled. I'm like, no, but at the end, she has the biggest smile on her face because she knows she's like found her own power,
right?
Which is a very powerful thing, I think, especially in this like kind of moment of time.
And for those of you who want to see the short, it's on Vimeo now. They won the first Vimeo.
First ever like Vimeo Staff Picks Award that's like been awarded. And obviously they do the Staff Picks, you know, every week on their website, every day almost, I think. And this is kind of, so they're the sponsor of our shorts program this year. And they wanted to do, as part of their 10-year anniversary of doing Staff Picks, do a actual physical award at a festival that's like given out to somebody. And then it goes online, because most of the Staff Picks are kind of, you know, somebody puts something online, they find it and they love it and they elevate it. So this worked the other way, is that they found it here and then awarded it, and then the next day it's available online directly after the award, so you can see it now. I wonder how many people have watched it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And Lowell, the cinematographer, we had him on the Thunder Road program. He's here with three projects. So
yeah, at least.
Yeah. Anyways, it brings up a whole other sort of question that we come up again and again. Encounter when we're talking about getting shorts into festivals is the whole, like, do I premiere it first at a festival, or do I premiere it first online? Is a festival not going to accept my short because it's been exhibited somewhere before? How does South by Southwest deal with that?
We and Sundance are very aligned, which is that we don't give a fuck.
Right.
So we want to play at South by, we want to play the work that we love. And sometimes that means that there's an animation that's been at 50 festivals and won a million awards, and it's the best animation I've seen in 5 years. And I'm going to show that to my audience, because it's very unlikely, even with stuff that's online, like something like there's a music video we're playing this year that has like, you know, 10 million views, and so many people afterwards was like, I love that video, I've never seen that, you know, and it's been online for like 8 months. So, you know, there's kind of this perception that because something is available online, everyone has seen it, but that's just not, you know, there's so much content now that the role of us curating things, that's the most apparent way that I see of like, you obviously still need curators in the world, because there's great stuff that's massively successful. And then, you know, maybe like four people have seen it in a theater of 300, which is surprising, but also cool. And also, you know, we just want to, the thing about it is like filmmakers that put their stuff online, that's great and it can get a lot of attention, but South By is about the community of filmmakers. So bringing those people to have that experience, like why would I not want somebody who made something amazing, who's sitting at home in their house, wherever, to not be able to kind of come and join a great community of filmmakers and like be a part of like the family that we have.
So let's talk about that then. Let's talk about what are the advantages of being in a festival. Once you're here, your short's been selected. How do you make the most of your time at a festival as a short filmmaker?
I think number one, you make a plan, but be entirely flexible about it. I think a lot of people really miss, not a lot, because so many of the filmmakers this week have brought this up, but some people think, okay, I'm going to go to my screenings and I'm going to go try to do all the cool stuff and make, like, have a great South by experience. But what makes it really great is actually going to see other filmmakers' work. Because so many people, you know, I talked to somebody who was leaving yesterday and he just called me on his way out and he was like, dude, I didn't even understand that I needed this, that it's like reinvigorated me and like inspired me seeing my own work be with all this other great work and kind of like to go out and keep doing it. You know, more than ever, I feel like people, especially if you don't live like, or have, even if you live in New York or LA, if you don't have like a tight filmmaking community, there are people, we have several shorts in the program this year where they met at South by last year or 2 years ago. And I was like, wait, how do y'all know each other? Like, we met last year at South by, and kind of go on to work together and lift each other up or help each other on things. Cause I think the South by vibe is like community and family and love. And like, how can you help people who are doing cool things with their cool things, and how can they help you? Which just is not necessarily how you're feeling when you're toiling away on your project all alone in your house.
Right. I mean, I totally feel that vibe whenever I come here. And, I feel like you don't even have to have a project in that way, like that screening at the festival or in competition, to be able to maybe take advantage of some of those things. How about for short filmmakers who don't have a project in the festival? Can they? Do you think that they can still benefit from coming to South by Southwest? And how could they benefit most from that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you're coming, I mean, seeing the great work also is very inspiring. And for a lot of our filmmakers who come, that idea of like the love extends to anybody who's asking them for help or a question or anything. So coming to kind of see the work, like filmmakers love talking to people about their work after screenings. I mean, that's part of why they want to exhibit it. So having, you know, that, and then also the conference, there's so many sessions with so many people I wish I could go to. I haven't gone to any this year, but then we also have mentor sessions and workshops and all these things that you can sign up for to, you could go and like have spoken one-on-one to like a massive agent or a person who's running a film fund or all these ways where you could connect with someone, and then they could also, you know, help you in the future. The workshops where you can like learn something you don't already know how to do from like an expert in that field. So, yeah. You know,
then how does South by sort of help those filmmakers that they've screened their work? God, day seven.
Is that all it is? Only day seven?
I don't even know anymore. How does South by Southwest help the filmmakers that they've had in their program once the program is over, like to further their career?
I mean, I think probably every filmmaker would have a different idea for this, but I think like the number one thing is that they are meeting other people who are going to help them and lift them up. But also, you know, at least for me, every year before the festival, you know, agents and managers and people who are looking for new talent and trying to develop writers and every type of people who are trying to get in on the ground floor and the like new talent, like that, like I will be like, here's all the, you know, whatever 100 like shorts of the kind of that you might be interested in. They're like, okay, but what's the best one? They're always looking for this like up and coming talent and to also lift people up. So I think it's like those types of people who you might like go back to your city and then like get an agent, get a manager. They'll help, you know, move you to the next level or get funding or get into it. Kind of just as like another stamp on your resume of like your work is valued by these people, so we should pay attention. So like other festivals will, you know, ask you to submit or maybe extend an invitation based on, you know, you having had work here. So I think it's not as like tangible as like, I got $1 million. But, you know, for some people, I mean, for the animation documentary and for the narrative filmmakers, the winners who are getting Oscar qualified, you know, that's a very real thing. I'm not really saying that the things that we play at South by are necessarily what the Oscars are interested in, but you are, you know, qualified for that. And it definitely does, you know, mean there's like overwhelming of like people who are at least interested in meeting you or checking out your film or, you know, seeing what you're doing next.
Does it help a film's chances of maybe like if there was a short film, if like Prospect, for example, was a short film that got accepted to South by, when was that, like
2014, so, I want to say.
Yeah,
so it was almost 4 years ago. They spent a lot of time putting together this feature. Yeah. And it's great.
It's great. But now they're back. Would you say that shorts that have screened at South by Southwest – have a pretty good chance of like being developed into a feature and then accepted at South by Southwest? Is there some sort of like a legacy, would you say?
I mean, this year we do have four films that played as shorts at South by, 1985, Thunder Road. Never Going Back is not, this doesn't have the same name as a short, but it's the same characters. And the one you just said, Prospect.
Yeah, Prospect.
And I think it doesn't necessarily mean that, but what it does mean is, because I think if the filmmakers are interested in that, not everybody is. It's kind of like, they're like, oh, that was a world and that was the world. Mm-hmm. And I want to make something else. But yep. For the filmmakers that are interested in, I think it does help them. And I think it also, you know, it means just like having your work at a festival also means you're part of our community. Yeah. So when you're making your feature or you're ready to submit, you can say, hey, Claudette, this is the feature I made from that short, you know, be sure to check it out. So it doesn't, I mean, we reject so many things from alum at this point, because that's like kind of a common misconception. Like you have to know someone, except for that, like probably 90% of the people who have a short this year, like I didn't know their name or had no idea who they were before they came. There was one person who has an ambiguous name that I thought was a woman, but then it was a guy. I'm like, I don't know. You know, we don't know all these people. And that's, you know, the point of South by is kind of the discovery. So having, you know, new, fresh people is always good. And also, like, not every project is something that's always right for the festival. So, you know, we're always trying to have new talent. But of course, you know, being able to exhibit a feature that started as a short, you know, one of the most famous examples from the last few years is Krisha, that Trey Edward Schultz directed. And, you know, that where for, I think, at least the feedback from these types of filmmakers is they're like, you know, I came here with the short and the support and kind of the feeling I came away from the festival with was like, I can do this. I can go and turn this into a feature. It was like this idea of kind of empowerment from the festival. But, you know, nothing is ever guaranteed. So it always just depends and depends on if the feature is also great and amazing and works for us. But it is very exciting for us to be able to keep supporting those filmmakers as they kind of grow.
Do you think that, like, genre films in general have a particular spot at South by more than they would at, like, any other major festival?
So we definitely have a specific space for them in the Midnighters, and I think we have an audience that is very interested in those types of films, and also in comedy. We kind of have somehow become this, like, home for comedy because, you know, we do have a comedy festival, but also just, like, the audience is, like, ready to laugh, and they don't necessarily have to take every film so serious. It is a film. Like you can, or like Steven Spielberg said the other night, Ready Player One, he was like, you know, we made a film, but we made a movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, where it can be fun, it can be, you know, engaging, and you can laugh, and not just, it doesn't all have to be serious filmmaking. So or, you know, it is serious filmmaking, but you can also laugh. I think maybe the answer is yes, because we've had several opening night films that were genre films, and I'm not sure that happens at other large festivals.
Right, right.
One of my favorites was Cabin in the Woods, or this year, A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Those types of things, like, they are not just only in the midnight program, but we have, you know, kind of genre throughout, also in the Visions program.
Yeah.
And, like, we have more of that kind of, like, Prospect is sci-fi, it's in Visions, like, not all in that program. If we do focus on it in a section of the festival, but we're kind of like, I mean, at the end of the day, we're just like, what do we love? Yeah. What's engaging us? Like, we want to play work that, you know, is kind of catching our attention. Go ahead.
It's like you're not filling anyone's, like, agenda, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that South by, because it started as a music festival, there's this element to everything that we do that's like, we just do whatever the fuck we want. Nice. You know, it's like, whatever. Like, we don't care. We'll do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So we feel very great about just making our own rules, but also breaking our own rules when it's appropriate, and just, you know, it's kind of that, it's like with programming, it's kind of just like a gut feeling about what you should do, or, you know, things to include, or making space for new things. Like this year we finally had, we've been doing episodics for, like, since the first one that we screened was Girls premiere back whenever that was, like 6 years ago maybe. And then we've had a program for the larger episodics, but this year we had independent episodics, because it's like, why didn't we have room for every single other thing at South by Southwest. Like, let's, like, get a space so that those people can be here and be a part of the community, because it's just all about bringing great people together who are interesting and making interesting work, and, like, kind of like fostering that. But it definitely like lends itself to like Austin's chill and we do whatever we want. It's like, you know, I like my personal catchphrase when I was like in high school and college was like, I do what I want. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I do what I want when I want. And that's kind of the vibe within reason, because we are a large company at this point, but we kind of try to hold on to that and be flexible.
Well, it seems like you embrace filmmakers that embody your own ethos. So it's like, you know, you want filmmakers that are trying to break the rules too.
Totally.
Which is pretty cool. Since we touched on indie episodics and episodics, there's so many outlets for short form content this like era, I guess, yeah, that we're going through. What would you suggest anyone like who wants to make, who has an idea for a short form piece of content, if they're trying to be successful, if they're trying to get into a festival, do you think they should make it an episodic series sort of thing, just like a regular short sort of thing, maybe a music video? What would you say has the best, what's the hottest thing right now, I guess?
I mean, I think it's more like, for me, it's like make the most authentic and like real to you, true to you, the story that you have to make, and then think about all the ways which you can kind of transform that. Because I think it's like there are these different areas, but a lot of the stuff fits in more than one thing. Like some of those episodic pilots, we could have played them as a standalone short. Mm-hmm. Some of the shorts we played, I'm sure they have some other episode of it written, like that they think it could become its own world. I definitely, at least one filmmaker is like, yeah, I already have like a, you know, 5-season Bible of this short.
Yeah.
But it's kind of more just being open to the idea that like, anything can be anything. Because last year we played Game of Death, and I honestly, you know, it was in Jared's program, but I watched it as a feature, and I thought of it as a feature, and then I found out later it had been produced as an episodic, but because we didn't have an independent episodics category at that time, they just put it all together and submitted it as a feature.
That's insane.
So I think that's kind of, I kind of think that's like my advice to everyone is like, don't worry about what type of content something is, just make some badass content and then see where it can take you. See if it can be developed into something else, you know, enter it as a short and somewhere and enter it into the like, you know, series fest and those kind of episodic places. Cause really you should just be trying to take up any opportunity that you can. And as I think it's more often that people are like, well, no, this is only a short, or this is definitely, it has to be an episodic and I don't want to play it as a short film. Like where, you know, no one gives a shit about, those are just like exterior labels that we're applying to work. It's like all of these things are 10 minutes, like we can think of them however we want. Mm-hmm. Or no, or maybe you know that there are 8 more episodes of 10 minutes that we could watch. So I think, you know, that's, it's more about just making this the things that feel, you know, authentic, because that's really what we're looking for at the end of the day, is like tell your own story, tell a story that is important to you, and then tell it in the most like real way you can do it. And like, you know, every, you know, so many filmmakers, even this week, they're like, yeah, I made this in an apartment with $1,000. Like you can still do that, especially with the technology that's available. And that's why you need friends. That's why you need a community. And, you know, going to any festival, whatever festival's near where you are, like it's never bad to like make new friends who could maybe help you make what you want to make.
I'm going to say that's true. And I've also heard like pretty much at every panel that I've been at this year, you know, the typical, you can shoot a movie on an iPhone now.
Yeah.
You know, like Tangerine. And then they'll just say the word Tangerine.
Yeah.
Is that really true? Like, do you really think that a movie with such low, or a short with such low production value could get into a festival
of
if
course.
The story was?
Okay. Because I don't give a fuck about production value.
Yeah.
And also, my phone shoots 4K, man. Like, I mean, I can't really, my computer is old and sad. So I can't really edit it on my computer,
right.
But I can shoot 4K and like do that. So of course you can definitely do that, because I don't think people know the difference. I mean, obviously, like if you're shooting on DV cam, hopefully that's like your style that you're going for. But, you know, it is, or you can buy a camera that shoots fucking 8K for not that much money, or borrow from your friend. Like
it
is, those things are available. And that's actually a really good point, is that for me, when I'm watching a short, like, you know, unless I can't hear the sound, or, you know, it looks so bad that I can't see what's happening. Like, of course you know, because it is easy to make things look good and sound good now, but honestly, like, I would take something that's like a little bit more rough around the edges or a little bit more like handmade, homemade or whatever than something that's super, super polished that I don't give a fuck about. Because that's the problem, is that there's so many of the things that are getting made. You're like, oh, it's so many films. And everyone thinks that must mean there's so many great films. There are not still the same basically amount, I think, every year to year of things that make my short list that I think are like great that I would love to show at the festival. There is a huge, much more middling ground of things that are like totally fine, totally watchable, look good, sound good, but like I don't care at all. I've seen this story 1,000 times. Nothing feels good. Or it's also like, this feels fake. Like, who made this movie about a woman struggling with her sexuality? Oh, a 50-year-old white man in Arizona.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't feel right, you know, where there's still also these people who are like, ooh, what's a hot story? Like, ooh, let's talk about race or women's rights or whatever. It's like, if that's not something that you have experience with, like maybe let those people tell their own story and then tell a story that feels authentic to you. And they don't have to be huge. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know, you know, people are like, but what if it's too short? Like, I've played films that are like 60 seconds before. Like, if it makes you laugh, if it makes you care, if you get some kind of emotional reaction, or like, you know, I'm watching films for 8 hours and then something comes on and I'm like, was answering email, and because I watch everything Vimeo, watch later, I've like just put a giant scroll. I'm like, okay, here's 8 hours, and I just let it go. So one ends, I answer an email, and then I'm like, wait, what's this one that came on? And I kind of like sit up and take notice, and I feel engaged by it. Like, that is the number one thing that we're looking for.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, you'll program a 60-second short, but duration is pretty big in terms of the other way around. What are the chances you'll program a 20-minute short into a program?
If it's amazing and great and I love it and it's all those things I've already said, then yes.
Okay.
Because it's the same as everything, right? Like, it doesn't really matter how long it is if I am so enthralled in it or connect with it so much. Like, there's a documentary short that's 40 minutes this year. That's, I think, the longest film we're playing. And so many people have brought it up to me that they're like, oh my God, that film is amazing. And I'm like, oh, it's 40 minutes. And they're like, what?
Wow.
I didn't even realize. Because you're so kind of connecting with it. I think the main kind of takeaway in terms of runtime is like, make your work the length that it needs to be to get it across. You know, like, because most of the stuff that people are making that is between 20 and 40 minutes is like bloated, they didn't have a real editor, or they didn't wait till they got to a more fine cut stage to kind of submit. Because especially if I'm at home watching a film and I'm like, wow, this is 20 minutes, but really if it was 10, it would have been amazing. Like, we're not playing that. Like, the competition is too high now at this point to really have much room for those things, unless it's like just doing something that you've never seen before. But it's more like about making things the right length for the story you're telling. And also, like, yes, when I played that 40-minute documentary, that means that probably two or three other documentary shorts didn't make it in.
Right.
So I'm having to decide, you know, do I want this film or do I want these three other films? And for that one, you know, that one was so unique and engaging that, you know, it surpassed that. But you do have to think, like, your film has to be better than those three other films, or I have to be willing to support one filmmaker over three filmmakers to kind of, like, to let it ride.
Yeah.
But definitely we don't play anything over 40 minutes because that's the Academy rules for winning. So we keep it to 40 minutes and under and 40 minutes and over in terms of like the separation of feature and short, but almost nothing that I've ever seen really needs to be 40 minutes.
Right.
Like, every year there's like two things I see that are really long that I'm like, that makes sense. And then every other one I'm like, well, you could have cut this out and this was really long, and like kind of just like, where if I can see, I'm not an editor, y'all. So if I can see that it needs to be edited, then that means you need to work more. Or let someone else edit your film.
Right.
Or let someone at least help you edit your film.
Yeah, work on it with someone.
Yes. Don't work alone.
So if a filmmaker has like a 20-minute cut, but they're worried that it won't get in, do you think that they should make a film, like a 15-minute cut, just to try and meet the sort of festival expectations, just to experiment with that? Or do you think that, like, if it fits the story, it's the way to go?
You should make the film you want to make, but there are definitely film schools that are like requiring kids to make like 20 or 25 minute shorts. So definitely don't always do that. Like, there was a film I played last year where they were like, everyone told me my film was too short and none of them got in anywhere because they made this long ass stuff. And, you know, it doesn't just come down to the runtime, but it's just really more like, make the film you want to make. So there, every year there's probably one thing I see that they're usually documentaries because it's so much harder to kind of like leave your subject on the cutting room floor. But where, you know, it's a 40-minute cut and I'm like, do you, because a lot of documentaries, especially international documentaries, they'll have like a 40-minute cut. They'll have a shorter kind of like TV cut, like 27, 28 minutes. And then some of them have like a 50-minute cut. So sometimes I will ask, but if they say they don't, I'm like, okay, cool. No worries. Because I'm, you know, for me, I think people should make the work they want to make and ultimately like make whatever you want to make. If it doesn't go to a film festival, cool. Live your life. Do whatever you
want.
Put
it on the internet.
Like, yeah, put it on the internet. But I think there is also just like the reality is that a 40-minute narrative short is longer than every single person's favorite episode of TV.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're watching an hour-long drama, maybe it's a little bit shorter. But you have to really be, you know, especially if you're wanting people to watch stuff online, like I do not watch anything that's 40 minutes unless it is my favorite TV show at all.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like at a festival
and it's
being
forced.
I also
have a hard time doing that, for sure.
You know, people just don't have that much time. It's how much of a commitment. And honestly, because most of the time you could have told your story in a short amount of time. That's why, you know, TV shows are like 25 minutes or whatever.
And also it's just hard to keep an audience's attention nowadays. It's just like,
people are busy. You're asking them to give up that whole hour of their life, you know? So I think everyone should just make whatever they want to make, but also just be aware that if you're really committed to that, that might mean that that's the opposite of what most people are interested in. Because definitely people, you know, get eager and they're like, I'll do whatever you want. And I'm like, no, you got to do what you want to do.
Exactly.
But, you know, maybe having it, your own you cut. I think it's like more like be open to you being wrong. Like if you want this to be 40 minutes and it's 40 minutes, do that. But then also have someone help you edit it to a shorter time just to see what that feels like and be open to like the possibilities of how things could change or could, you know, just like experiment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's what a film is.
Yeah. Don't be married to like any one idea ever.
Right. Great. Well, I mean, this has been awesome. I guess I'll just close by asking a question I often close with. And that's, if you have a pearl of wisdom for any emerging filmmaker trying to get into South by Southwest, trying to get into a film festival, we've covered a shit ton today, but what is your biggest piece of advice?
My biggest piece of advice is not to care so much about what every single person thinks about you and what you're doing. Do what you want. Do what feels right. Also, pay attention to shit. There's no way for filmmakers to like not be organized anymore. It's like, figure out the deadlines, submit as early as you can, although it doesn't matter if you submit earlier. I see stuff on the last day that I fit into the program. Doesn't matter. And just like, try to be having a good time. And also, no. Okay, wait. Number one piece of advice.
Here we go.
Don't be a fucking asshole. Because everyone remembers if you're an asshole.
What are some things that an asshole would do?
An asshole would call and cuss out the receptionist at a festival because they didn't get in. Or send a really nasty email in response to the rejection letter. Or, you know, accost you at a festival and say, like, you're a fucking asshole for not liking my film. Or just, like, show up to their screening and in the Q&A act like they don't care. Like the audience doesn't, like they came here, they're waiting, they want to see you, like act like you don't care. Just be like kind of, you know.
Too cool?
Yeah, too cool for the other filmmakers. Like the most successful filmmakers that I know are the most collaborative, the most kind, and like are ready to help anyone. And that means that like everyone is also ready to help them.
Nice.
And that's like how you get a good reputation, because your reputation is pretty much like everything, especially now that we have the internet.
Yeah.
Not that the internet also can't have lies, but just like, I know when someone's an asshole. Like even this week, like someone I know who just is interested in a filmmaker that I have, he was like, hey, I heard he like signed with this agent. And like, just so you know, like from my experience, that agent like has been not doing good work for their clients. It's like for anything in the world, whatever it is, like showing up, having a smile, and being kind to other people is like generally good advice, but especially in this case, because you know, like if you respond to your rejection, especially like this year, I send so many personal rejections because we reject tons of people that we know and love. So I send them a personal note, and someone replied and was like, fuck you. No one gives a fuck about what you do anyways. Like, just like, you know, just like it's definitely what you feel when someone rejects you.
Right.
But maybe just like don't immediately reply with it. Maybe just like save a draft or like write a little note about it and like vent it out, but don't send it back because, you know, am I going to be interested in watching their next film? Probably not, because that's not the kind of person we want to bring in and be like in our community. We want true blue, like sweethearts, badasses, amazing people.
That's fantastic advice. Thank you so much, Claudette. This has been great. And I think everyone's going to be like stoked to hear all this.
So. Thanks. I'm sorry my voice sounds like shit, but no, it's
mine
all good.
Too. Day 7, we're done. See you back in New York.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to the No Film School podcast on whatever podcast platform you use. We have 3 podcasts coming out every week. Indie Film Weekly, the first feature, and of course, these interview podcasts. So if you don't want to miss anything, it's pretty important that you subscribe. I'm John Fusco. You can follow me on Twitter at @Jim_John_Jim, and you can follow No Film School @No Film School. Until next week.